Good afternoon, TGIF. I'm Ann Vandersteel, and welcome to the Zelenko Report, where truth and God are still trying to take down the tyranny that seems to be swallowing our country. Guess what? Biden, guilty of crimes, punishable by death, as if that wasn't already very obvious. Why it hasn't happened, still a mystery to many of us out here who are patriots. And the WHO's net zero agenda will only hasten the pandemic, famine, and death. COVID stats piling up, and they're not good. Ukraine feeling major pressure right now, and the financial global markets destabilizing before our very eyes. Michael Yon, very well acclaimed war correspondent, famed Green Beret, will be joining me later on in the second half of the show to talk about what he is seeing over in the Netherlands, and it's not good there either, ladies and gentlemen. Brace for impact. We're live exclusively on Brighteon TV, with replays later on across Rumble, CloudHub, Getter, and many other platforms. We'll be right back after this quick break.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package. Emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
And on this Friday, your News Between the Lines is brought to you by ZStackLife.com, promo code FOUNDATION. Use your ZStack for your immune-boosting supplements, including Z-Detox, Z-Flu, Z-Gummies, and everything is Z-Delicious. So go on over to ZStackLife.com, promo code FOUNDATION. Also, Mike at MyPillow, very gracious, gives us an incredible deal. And you, for 66% off using the promo code FOUNDATION, and you're supporting the Zelenko Freedom Foundation, a worthy, worthy cause. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, We need your support. We've got a big press conference coming up, got people coming in from all over the country to help stop these COVID death protocols here in Sarasota at Sarasota Memorial Hospital. So please, if you can spare $5, $50, or $500, head on over to zfreedomfoundation.org. We would really appreciate your support. All right, at the top of the show today, shockingly, Joe Biden seems to be guilty of crimes which could result in punishment by death. That's right. Treason is on the minds of many Americans, including one David Horowitz, who is actually a recovering leftist, who wrote a scathing article about how he views the usurpations of our Democrat resident in the White House. Biden is accused by many Americans of ushering in the final stage of the managed decline of the Republic of the United States of America, and is seen as the orchestrator of numerous severe blows to our global reputation, our integrity with our allies, our national security, our domestic tranquility, our economic stability, and our sovereignty. Biden has said, Horowitz has said Biden has betrayed the U.S. through his decades-long history of influence peddling, enriching himself while undermining and weakening the nation he's supposed to serve, citing Statute 18 U.S. Code 2381, treason, a crime punishable by death, involves waging war and or giving aid and comfort to enemies of the United States. I don't think you can argue with anything. Look at the stuff that Joe Biden has managed to do, incentivizing the border crisis, which of course has led to the mass fentanyl killing of Americans, covering up the Wuhan lab origins of COVID-19, not holding China and Dr. Anthony Fauci, the longtime director of the NIAID and infectious disease accounting, to account for funding the coronavirus, the gain of function around that, and of course, botching that Afghanistan withdrawal, which led to $7 billion in U.S. military equipment falling into the Taliban hands. And another atrocity unfolding around the world right now over in Davos, of course, is what they're doing with the World Homicide Organization and the net zero initiatives of governments and private organizations, which are scientifically proving this all to be invalid and will lead to a worldwide impoverishment and starvation if implemented. This is all now according to a paper published by the CO2 Coalition. The 46-page paper details how the objectives of the net zero to eliminate the use of fossil fuels and the emissions of greenhouse gases are actually based on analytical methods that violate fundamental tenets that the science method, which was originated more than 300 years ago. 11 career physicists, take a look at this. We, Harper and Lindzen, are career physicists who have specialized in radiation physics and dynamic heat transfer for decades. There are processes integral to atmospheric climate science, and in our scientific opinion, all of the net zero regulations and actions are scientifically invalid and fatally flawed science because they fabricate data, rely on models that don't work, rely on IPCC findings, which are government opinions, not science, and they go on from there. Well, they're not the only thing that's flawed, because clearly the flawed trial of the Pfizer's COVID-19 mRNA, air quotes, vaccine, 90% of the original placebo group in this trial received at least one mRNA injection by March of 2021. Hold the phone. You have a control group and a placebo group. How on earth did 90% of the placebo group get at least one injection? They contaminated the entire study. It's invalid. It doesn't work. And basically all the information that came out of there was a big fat lie. And then the studies they did continue on with, they tried to obfuscate, cover up, and hide, along with their co-conspirator, their partnership in crime of public-private nature of fascism, the FDA. They tried to bury it for 75 years. Well, making it difficult to get a true picture of the cause and effect relationship when you actually muddy the waters, which is exactly what they did, you have a bogus study. And now, coming out of the UK, official data suggests most COVID deficiency syndrome in 2022, otherwise known as AIDS. A large pile of UK Health Security Agency vaccine surveillance report figures shows that booster shots to the COVID-19 vaccine massively accelerate the immune system degradation, and that most triple-double vaccinated people in the UK may have developed some new form of COVID-19 vaccine-induced acquired immunodeficiency syndrome by the end of February in 22. The following shows the immune system boost degradation in each age group between week 47 and 50 in 2021. If you take a look at that, you can see just how badly the immune system started to plummet as you started to get your second and third booster. This bar graph is far more clearly depicting just how negative the immune system has been impacted by the double and triple vaccinations in weeks 47 to 50. You see the immune system plummeting by 50 40-50% as they've gone forward in time taking on those additional vaccines. So again, the COVID news, it still continues to just underwhelm us, but overwhelm us with how bad it is. And Russia firing hypersonic missiles in waves of attack on Ukraine. They have fired an unusually large number of Kinzhal hypersonic missiles as part of a wave of long-range airstrikes that targeted critical Ukrainian infrastructure, killing at least 11 civilians. And this is coming out from British defense officials effective today. Ukraine says Russia launched 81 cruise missiles and Iranian-supplied drones on Thursday, along with six Kinzhal hypersonic missiles that are capable of looting Kiev's air defense net. Moscow also fired air defense missiles that had been configured to a surface-to-surface mode, and British officials are now noting this in their latest intelligence assessment in the war in Ukraine. Hypersonic missiles typically are intended for use against high-value targets such as aircraft carriers, and Pentagon officials have suggested that Moscow's use of them in general airstrike indicates they're dealing with supply problems. Well, this is contrary to what we reported on yesterday, where we said NATO and the NATO countries, including the U.S., would be out of supplying missiles and armament to Ukraine by this summer. And just in, Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, talking about Nord Stream explosions, saying, quotes, "We have nothing to do with it. Ukrainians definitely did not do this." Zelensky then said he believes such reports might be circulated to provoke a slowdown in aid to Ukrainians at a press conference with Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin in Kiev. Well, he's probably accurate on that, because new polling is showing support for the war in Ukraine is dropping sharply among U.S. public as the propaganda wears off. That's right. In April of 2022, 82% of the Dems and 67% of the Republicans indicated that they believed it was a good idea for America to support Ukraine. The support has now dipped 7 points among Dems and 28 points among Republicans. So as of February of 22, the policy of the U.S. giving financial aid to Ukraine to fight Russia was mostly supported by Democrats, 75%, with 39% in the Republicans. As you can see, folks, their propaganda game is wearing off. But listen to this, coming out of Russia, they now say the Nord Stream correspondence with Germany, Denmark, and Sweden will be published very soon. Russia is being denied access to information regarding the investigation. Therefore, they will distribute correspondence that they have with Germany, Denmark, and Sweden on the investigation of the Nord Stream accident among the members of the UN Security Council soon, similarly to how they did it with the biolabs. Remember that explosive testimony? Claiming that the recent information in Western media on Nord Stream accidents is an attempt to divert attention from what has really happened, First Deputy Permanent Representative to the UN, Dmitry Polansky, said the recent information in Western media on Nord Stream accidents is an attempt to divert attention away from the truth. There's a shock. Well, here's something that shouldn't shock anybody. Surprise, surprise. That's right. Chinese leader Xi Jinping has been formally reappointed as the nation's president for the third time. Remember Trump saying president for life? Well, take a look at this video. They are not surprised, but they are dutifully standing and clapping. I don't know. Talk about either voter fraud or voter fear, but the vote for Xi in the National People's Congress was 2,952-0. Wow. Putin did call Xi to congratulate him on his new term, hailing the strengthening ties between the two countries. And in a joint statement put out by Iran and Saudi Arabia and China, the countries have agreed to resume diplomatic ties and reopen embassies within 2 months after negotiations in China. They have agreed to implement the security cooperation agreement between them, the general cooperation in the fields of economy, trade, investment, technology, science, culture, sports, and youth. They want to enhance regional and international peace and security. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it's not making me feel too good about things right now, knowing that the then called Axis of Evil is now coalescing around themselves. And yes, we're still out in the cold, ladies and gentlemen, but I think we've earned it. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is now warning the United States could actually see unexpectedly high interest rate hikes very soon, citing data showing that inflation has now reversed the deceleration experienced late last year. Powell stated the latest economic data may come in stronger than expected, which suggests that the ultimate level of interest rates is likely to be higher than previously anticipated. Aiming to try to reduce inflation to a target of 2%, higher interest rates are expected to reduce consumer spending, which could slow the economy. Gee, is there any sort of magic formula here that isn't going to result in an economic depression where we're going to see the bottom fall out? Well, keep in mind, the Fed has already raised interest rates at the quickest pace since the 1980s during the last year, climbing from over zero to over 4.5%. Despite this, consumer spending has not been slowing. You got to ask yourself, what are these people spending their money on? If they're smart, they're spending their money on things to get prepared for what is coming. Generators, food, water, meals on, you know, prepped already, freeze-dried meals, batteries, first aid kits, because ladies and gentlemen, it is coming. It is coming like a freight train. Higher rates, by the way, are expected to negatively impact stocks and other investments and increase the risk of a recession down to the very line. So again, I want to talk a little bit about this because I'm going to spend some time right now on this because I'm getting a lot of reports. My computer keeps lighting up with what I see coming in, which is potentially a bank run. We're going to talk about that. Not in the major banks right now, but this is the first wave of the reset. It's going to start in the smaller banks, the smaller local, more regional banks, because yes, we know they are insolvent. The whole country's insolvent. We're just printing money out of thin air. There's nothing new under the sun here. The central bankers have been pulling this heist for over 150 years, actually for even longer than that, printing money out of thin air, loaning most of it out and keeping just a fraction, a reserve of what you put in the bank. Remember, when you put money in the bank, it's not really yours anymore. They're holding it for you and they do with it as they please. Well, unfortunately, what we're now seeing, and if you paid attention when the housing market took off, well, the housing market is now starting to crumble. Look at this tweet put out by Unusual Whales. I love these guys. If you're not following Unusual Whales on Twitter, you really should be. Post this: U.S. housing market is crumbling under the weight of higher mortgage rates and rock bottom affordability per Market Watch. Meanwhile, the average rate on the 30-year fixed mortgage jumped back over 7%. Rising to 7.1%. So for those people that were buying a house for $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, which is somewhat of the average price range these days, their interest payments or mortgage payments have skyrocketed. And if you're in an adjustable, you're going to start to see people walk away from these houses because they simply can't afford them and they simply can't unload them at this time. Well, and of course, as we have been predicting, and as Mel K has been predicting, an Epstein boomerang is soaringly cruising at Mach 10 in flight. That's right, Jeffrey Epstein, the blackmail artist for the federal government, continues to give pain to the banking industry. J.P. Morgan refusing to let their CEO, Jamie Dimon, be questioned under oath over the bank's ties to Jeffrey Epstein as being a client for 15 years. The United States Virgin Islands is seeking damages from J.P. Morgan over its alleged links to Epstein, claiming that the Wall Street giant turned a blind eye to the evidence of human trafficking despite the many red flags raised over Epstein's involvement in the heinous crimes. The U.S. Virgin Islands lawsuit initially filed in December by former Attorney General of the Territory has now accused J.P. Morgan of actually facilitating and benefiting from Epstein's sex trafficking operations. Well, on February 23rd, the U.S. Virgin Islands filed documents in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York and Manhattan, demanding that J.P. Morgan provide the territory with relevant documents from 2015 to 19 involving Dimon, labeling him a, quote, likely source of relevant and unique information. The lawyers also wanted Dimon to be deposed, claiming he played an important role in Morgan's decision to continue providing banking services to Epstein. It's getting hot under the collar, as they say. White collar crime still results in jail time. Silicon Valley Bank has now plummeted. Are you ready for this? You can't make it up. 66.6% pre-market. SVB is the 18th largest bank in the United States and is the biggest bank in Silicon Valley based on local deposits. The bank has billions of dollars in venture debt and untold amounts of warrants and convertible notes in early stage firms. And according to CNBC's latest update, Silicon Valley Bank is in talks to sell itself after attempts to raise capital have failed. Who wants a dying bank, especially when it's all made up stuff based on a dot-com boom that has nothing behind it? Look at these. Look at this chart. It's just sliding into Neverland. Well, just in, regional banks have now got word out that there is a failure imminent. Remember, I talked about this at the beginning of the show, and if our wonderful producer, Heather, would grab that slide for me and put it up, I would appreciate it for last minute. But this is coming out of Wells Fargo. I'm going to read this because you need to hear it. Wells Fargo apologizes after computer glitch showed negative balances for customers. And this is printed today, March 10th at 11 o'clock this morning. A nationwide computer glitch at Wells Fargo left irate customers with incorrect balances and missing transactions Friday morning, sometimes dipping accounts into negative balances. Funds remain available, even though some customers' direct deposit transactions were not showing on their accounts. Bank spokesperson Josh Dunn said Dunn did not say how many customers were impacted by the problem and did not provide a time when customers can expect the issue to be resolved. But he did say Wells Fargo was, quotes, working quickly on a resolution. Customers logging into their account Friday morning saw a negative message from the bank saying, if you see incorrect balances or missing transactions, this may be due to a technical issue and we apologize. Your accounts continue to be secure and we're working quickly on a resolution. So I'm going to take a step here and just go out of order for poor Heather as well, who's trying to keep up with me. But this is when I remind people, what you see in the bank and what you see with your paper currency is not real until you have it in your hands and it's physical. This is why I own gold and silver, and I'm going to hound this and have been harping on this for the last couple of years. Gold and silver is the only sound constitutional money. It's been used in transactions for over 5,000 years. Kirk Elliott is the guy I've used since 2018. I cannot stress this enough. KirkElliottPhD.com/Ann/Ann. Call them. They'll give you a free consultation. They'll talk to you as often as you want. You're not under any obligation to do anything except get educated, which is what I've been trying to do for the last so many years about this. I can't stress it enough. We are sliding into what we know to be the global reset. And if you don't own sound money, I'm sorry, your paper is going to be worthless. It's going to get exchanged, but it's going to be worth less. And it's getting worth less every single day. Take it for what it's worth. Okay. Now, and in an effort, because the globalists know that this is a battle right now for everything, all the marbles. In an effort to keep things in the status quo by the globalists, the Manhattan prosecutors now, in all of their infinite wisdom, have now signaled that they are going to be bringing charges likely to Trump in the Stormy Daniels case. This is relating to his alleged role in hush money payments to the porn star. The former president was told he could appear before a Manhattan grand jury next week if he wished to testify with such invitations, almost always meaning that the indictment is close. So yet again, they're going to continue to drag President Trump through the mud because these people are running out of things to put in their cannons. They've run out of forks, spoons, knives. They ran out of cannonballs a long time ago. So they're dragging the porn whore right back out into the public eye to try and smear the president in another lame attempt to keep him from running for president. And in another lame attempt to also obfuscate and cover up the truth, the federal government, who I now labeled clearly the enemy of the people by all of their dubious activities, their treasonous and heinous and crimes against humanity activities, is now being exposed over their hand in January 6th. Last night, Jacob Chansley, you know him as the QAnon shaman, his mom was on with Tucker. And this is what she had to say.
Martha Chansley is Jacob Chansley's mother. William Shipley is his attorney, and they join us tonight. Martha Chansley, thank you so much. First to you, what's it like, what has it been like for the last 26 months to see people like Steve Schmidt of the Lincoln Project on television calling for the killing of your son?
What has it been like? It's an awful thing to say. It's horrible. I can't even imagine even saying that for somebody who just walked through open doors.
Yes.
Right?
How does it feel to know that the U.S. government, the Biden administration, hid this evidence and on the basis of that lie and crime sent your son to prison for years.
It's upsetting. It's upsetting. It should have come out 2 years ago. That should have come out 2 years ago. He's an innocent man. Everything that he said that he did is true, that he walked through open doors. He was escorted through the halls in the Senate. And part of the reason why he was escorted was because he volunteered to help them. He said that he saw people in the Senate and that he wanted to help them in any way he could.
Yeah,
and that's why part of the reason why he was led around.
So clearly, again, you know, this has impacted millions of people's lives. It's heinous what's happening right now across the country. It's heinous what's happening across the world. But again, the selection of government and the fact that the people around the world are not standing up yet and demanding an outrage to take back their freedom, it just defies logic to me at this point. Well, one man who defies it all, travels around the world to get the real story, is a dear friend of mine. And I'm glad to say he's joining me this afternoon right after the break. Michael Jahn, famed war correspondent, former Green Beret, who's over in the Netherlands right now. He's keeping his finger on the pulse of this impending pandemic, famine, and war that is descending on us like a bat out of hell right now, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with Michael Jahn after the break.
We're going to see a lot of starvation. And of course, this leads to pandemic. We'll have real pandemics. Because again, when you have many people starving, they're first of all, they start migrating and eating things they don't normally eat, and their immune systems are depressed. Anyway, bottom line is, every time you get big famines, you get big pandemics.
Well, good. Then we can lock everybody. Then we can lock everybody down again, eh? That'd be real fun. We can lock everybody down again, like they did in Shanghai, and then we can disrupt the supply chains even more. And then we can starve a bunch more people. And maybe we will settle out with 600 million people and have a sustainable planet, you know, with all those 600 million people living in the ashes and the skeletons.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com. The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals. that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Welcome back to the second half of the Zelenko Report. Now for a special treat coming live out of the Netherlands, Michael Jahn, famed war correspondent, former Green Beret, and frankly, the globetrotter like none I've ever met before. He's been tracking what's going on with the Dutch farmers, and he's now going to give us a live report because, as we've been warning, this is coming. The pandemic has hit us, the famine is on its way, and we are already at war, let's be honest. Michael, good to see you again.
Good to see you too again, Anne. As we just met together in Florida, had interesting huge dinner. I loved it. And you know, I'm somewhere in Netherlands. I'm not sure where I'm at. I've been driving all over the place. This place is flatter than Florida. Well, let's say about as flat as Florida. Let's say
half of it's underwater, except if we're not for the dikes. So you'd be swimming.
Yeah. I saw a lot of soggy ground today, actually, because it's been raining a lot today. And, you know, it's just flat. But the Dutch are such experts with water, they're keeping this place alive. And so, you know, there's a big farmer protest in Den Haag, Hague, which is one of two capitals in Netherlands. You know, some countries will have two capitals, and this is one of those countries. So The Hague is the political capital. And so the farmers are going there tomorrow. I'm going to be going with them in a tractor. And the mayor of The Hague said yesterday, or about 36 hours ago now, I would say, he said that, you know, you can only bring two tractors. Farmers from all over Netherlands have planned to drive their tractors like, you know, hours and hours to get there. But he's saying two tractors and limit to 25,000 people, right? So I don't know how they're going to do that. But they've already started to disrupt today. For instance, when farmers were out there preparing in the big park in The Hague, the government was already starting to give them a hard time. So it looks like the army may actually block the streets tomorrow. I plan to be in one of the lead trucks, and so does Ava. You know, Ava Lardebroek. It's her name. It's hard to pronounce.
Wait, so you said the military is going to stand up against the people in the Netherlands?
Yeah, that's what it looks
like. Wow, this is just heartbreaking. I mean, are you having conversations with people in the military or people that people about the military there versus the military here? Are we probably going to be challenged in the same way if we were to pull a stand up like that here?
Actually, this time I haven't talked with anybody in the military. I have worked with the Dutch military in the past. In fact, they flew me in from Afghanistan at one point to Netherlands for something many years ago. So I've had good relations with them in the past. But some people in the Dutch government, I'm spending significant amounts of time with them. In fact, I had lunch with one today. And so that you were chatting with while we were at lunch. So there are people that are inside the wire who are not fascist. And fascist, you know, I used to think that term was overwrought and just over the top, but it's not. It's actually accurate because fascism, as you know, you and I have talked about this so many times, and it's when government and business are indistinguishable from each other. As you can tell, I'm not getting enough sleep, but I'm not doing a Biden. I'm perfectly fit.
Yes, you are.
But as you can see, that's what's happening. It's when the government is actually becoming a corporation, and the corporations are the government. That's what we have here. And as you know, the Dutch government is completely captured. This is a scene of massive information war. For instance, there's this one new, not really new, 2019 political party called the BBB. In Dutch, it's like Boeren, Bevolkering, Beweging, which is like farmers, citizens, movement. Boeren, Bevolkering, Beweging, right? BBB. So There's this, I've already driven probably 800 miles around Netherlands now since I've gotten back, what, 6 days ago or something, five, 6 days, because we've been going everywhere to farms and political events and meeting people and that sort of thing. And these BBB signs are everywhere. But interestingly, I think I sent you a photo, and it's BB better, right? Like build back better, right?
Right.
And interestingly as well, the office, the main office for BBB is in a building where Bayer has an office building, so an office. So, I mean, it's anyway, you know, it's right in your face. You and I, we study information war. We live and breathe information war. We know it when we see it. But the farmers, as you know, the reason I spend so much time with farmers around the world is because they are busy with their fingers on the pulse of the ground of that country.
So they don't have time to know that their mind is being raped.
Right. They don't, and they don't know the tricks that are being used against them. They don't have time to study all these things. They're up at the literally before the crack of dawn. Like today I was out with a Dutch farmer. He actually looked Amish. And I said, you looked Amish. And he just like rubbed his beard the way Afghans do. And he smiled. I think I sent you that picture. And
yes,
he goes, he's like, do I look Amish? And so I started asking him about his grandparents and things. We talked for a couple hours, and I he's a dairy farmer, right? And so I've been talking with all kinds of farmers, big and small. He was a smaller farmer, and he talked about how dogs used to make the butter. Like there's a machine where the dog walks like a treadmill, he talked about another machine where the dogs walk in a circle, like a you know, the pony on the pole trick. And anyway, so it's very interesting that he comes from just a long line of farmers, as most of these farmers do. That's why the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and CCP, which are co-sanguinated, I used to look at them as just cooperating, but it's actually clear that they're much deeper than that. They're totally married and having children, right? And so you have to separate the farmers from the land, because the farmers are independent. And they have independence. They create food, right? That's what Stalin did in 32 and 33. Well, actually before and after that, but the Holodomor really happened in 32 and 33. And that was the big famine, right? And then Mao did similar afterwards, because Mao was, you know, he followed the teachings of Stalin, and Pol Pot did similar. Basically attacked, they labeled the Ukrainian farmers, Stalin did, kulaks, kulak. Kulak was like labeling somebody Jew or Polish, right? And so they labeled a racist, right, or fascist. So it's labeling them these things. And then later, that's just a label you can stick on anybody that you hate. And so what they did, what Stalin did, is he, like Mao, used a replacement strategy. In other words, they had a lot of people. Stalin did an information campaign and said, hey, these kulaks, they're the ones who took your land. They're the ones why you have high prices and why you can't afford to have things, right? It's the kulaks. Take their farms. It's yours. They took your land before. So people came and they took the, go ahead, Ann.
So I just, on a question here, because I'm thinking about the historical cycle of life over the last 1,000 years, right? We've seen this cycle go over and over, where you have tyranny over rules, the people succumb, finally they get sick of it, they rise up, and then, you know, you get some puff of freedom somewhere. You know, America was the last puff of freedom we really had, and now we're getting sucked into the cycle. It's like this life cycle, right? So I guess my question to you is, when you sit of all the world around, of all the countries you've traveled, right, everywhere you've been, understanding this life cycle of freedom coming and going and coming and going, how long do you think it's going to be before we all come back around again to where we just demand our freedom? Because there's very few of us that are really screaming the way you, myself, and our close colleagues and friends are. There's just a handful when I look at the terms of general population.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a long time, not in our lifetime or the lifetimes of our grandchildren or anything like that. I mean, it could be, this could literally be an authoritarian dark ages that doesn't have, I mean, because we're going into a world now in which it's easy to control people. We talk about somebody giving a speech the other night about beautiful cities, right? What's the first thing that pops into my mind?
15-minute cities.
Beware of people that promise utopia. I'm sitting right in the middle of Tri-State City right now. They're trying to steal all these farms right now to make Tri-State City. Tri-State City, if you look it up online, look up map of Tri-State City, you'll see this giant map. Tri-State is part of Netherlands, part of Germany, part of Belgium, this huge city, which happens to be at the end of the railway, all the way from Shanghai, China, all the way across Asia to right by where I'm at now. And by the way, a wolf was killed like 500 meters from me last Friday. They've been releasing wolves. killing livestock and that sort of thing. The farmers think that these wolves are being released as another part of the program to get rid of the farmers. You know, it's interesting too. Bill Gates' daughter has a horse ranch not far from me down the road. The only reason I know that is because I happen to know one of her neighbors. And that's so it's just a coincidence. We were just talking the other day and he's like, oh yeah, my neighbor happens to be. And she, you know, her father bought her this multi-million dollar horse ranch, which is just like, you know, you can't make up this stuff. You know what I mean? This is the family that's trying to get rid of the horses and the cattle that we use so that they can have, you know, prancers and jumpers or whatever. Right. But anyway, not to go into that, but you can see that this is exactly what Stalin did before, what Mao did before. We have migrants from all over the world, invaders. For instance, this one pig farmer I was at the other day, he's a pig farmer, but he actually grows pears and he grows Christmas trees as well. So he's a Christmas tree pig and pear farmer. And so he said he's been hiring a lot of Afghans, Polish. He loves Polish workers. He likes Ukrainians, but he likes Polish better. He likes Romanians, okay, but Polish are the best. And he hired people from all over the world. He's like, the Afghans steal all my stuff. He's like, the Afghans were really good workers, but recently they got these ID cards, so that they're basically have Dutch, not citizenship, but, you know, you can stay here. And so now they're getting money. So the Afghans came back the next day and were like, oh, we're sorry, we liked work. They were. I like Afghans, you know, I spent 2 years. The Afghans came back and were like, apologize. They can't continue to work for him because then they can't get the free money from the government. So jeez, we've got the Dutch government actually starting to float the idea to people. They started at least last year, maybe before, but definitely by last year. And they're floating it harder now that these migrants may have to start taking up residence inside of people's homes because there's not enough room for the migrants. Right. So if you're a widow lady who has a big farmhouse and your children are gone and your husband is gone, then you may have to take in some friendly Somalis.
Right? And are they going to pay you? Is anybody going to pay the people who own these properties that they're going to have, you know, be quartering, you know, God knows who?
Good question. But another question is, who cares? I mean, why would you want a house full of Somalis? I don't want the Somali tribe in my house. You know, I've been all over this world. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want a tribe of people I don't know in my house. I don't care what ethnicity they are. I don't want a tribe of people I don't know. I allow people in my house I know. You're one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you wouldn't want me just moving into your house for like 6 months or 8 years because that's what this is about. This is about replacing you. Now that you're there, then they start sending people text on their phones. Hey, that should be your house anyway. You know what I mean? All right. She's giving you a hard time. Well, kick her out. You know, that's how this goes. That's how it happened with the kulaks. Kulaks were murdered. Kulaks were ran off. It was a genocide. That's what Mao did. Pol Pot did similar. You know, go after those target groups. And look at South Africa now as an example. Look what happens. Like in the Holodomor in Ukraine that Stalin did, mass famines. You know, you get these people that replace people on the farms. They think they can just, oh, we got some cows now. We'll milk the cows and, you know, we'll throw some seeds on the ground and we'll have food. We'll be swimming in food. That's not what happens. It's a highly skilled art that these farmers have learned since childhood. Like the dairy farmer we were at today, his whole family tree has been farmers since he doesn't even remember. Same with the pig farmer. Same with another farmer we met, just so many farmers. But the bottom line, can I say one more thing? I know you don't have much time. Can we have 1 hour instead of 20 minutes?
Next time.
I mean, stop laughing. I'll do it. You know I will.
So, I know. But I have more questions, and we got 9 minutes left.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so here's the thing. I want to get a sense of what's the ground game there right now when it comes to the World Health Organization, the treaty, the IHR. What are the Dutch saying about all this? Do they even know about it? Are they paying attention?
They're paying attention to what's right in front of them, which is like their energy prices, their feed prices and that sort of thing. They're not paying attention mostly to the larger scale issues. Some are, but most are not. For instance, this pig farmer that I was with a couple of days ago, the one with the Christmas trees and the pears who hires Afghans and that sort of thing. He said, his name is Mark. And he said, he said that they have good circular farming. In other words, they use the pig crap to fertilize their pear trees, right? So he said, you know, it's a nice internal system. Then I asked him, of course, where do you get your pig feed? And he said, Brazil. And I said, well, that's one of the reasons I'm here. BASF has just announced cutting off another 2,600 workers for an ammonia plant, which is fertilizer. And guess who gets that fertilizer? A lot of it goes to Brazil. So Brazil is already short on nitrogenous fertilizers. And as you can see, there's a left-wing takeover going on in Brazil as well, yep. right? So these are not coincidences. Brazil, like Ukraine, like United States, and here. Why is it Ukraine, here, Netherlands, huge breadbasket? And these are breadbaskets. Brazil, United States, all of our farmers are under attack in various ways. For instance, the nitrogenous fertilizer. So I told Mark, the farmer, I said, I bet you your prices are going to go up way, way high next year on the feeds for your pigs because your feed is coming from Brazil. And the ammonia that feeds that feed is coming from Europe down the road. And down the road from us now, Groningen is a big gas field in Netherlands. And the gas is mostly staying in the ground. I was just at the gas field a few days ago. It's way north up in the Netherlands. And there's a huge amount of gas just staying in the ground. And this is mostly due to information war because pulling the gas out of the ground, just like in Florida and Polk County, where I'm from, actually, pulling the phosphate out can create some sinkholes, right, and lead to conditions that create sinkholes. Here it creates these little earthquakes and these little earthquakes, right? And so there's been a huge information campaign, like in Florida, to try to shut down our fertilizer plants. And I'm all for keeping those fertilizer plants open. There's a lot more involved here than some sinkhole. I grew up in Winter Haven, Florida. We got sinkholes all over the place. And guess what? We can live with the sinkholes. It's hard to live without the food. And
that's,
so, you know.
That's right. Let me ask you about what's going on in Switzerland, because I want to know what the Dutch are saying about with respect to the global genocide in progress with these COVID-19 injections. Gentleman in Switzerland, Pascal Najati, has brought criminal charges filed against the president of Switzerland, who used to be the minister of health. His name is Alain Berset. He brought criminal charges against him. The attorney general for Switzerland is taking that case seriously and investigating. But then on Friday last week, and it was accepted by the court, he filed a case of criminal charges against Alain Berset and the heads of Pfizer in the state Supreme Court of New York, which resulted in a temporary restraining order, a TRO, against President Alain Berset. He cannot travel to the United States, and if he does, he will be arrested. Is this news making its way around Europe at all?
Among the political class, yes.
Is there anybody in the Dutch parliament talking about this? Because that seems fairly significant. I've been asked to sit on a couple of tribunals. I've witnessed one, and I'm going to testify in another up in Canada.
Well, I introduced you today to Thierry Baudot, and he just wrote a book about this. It's not out yet, on the COVID conspiracy, right?
Right.
And I think he'll come on your show soon. I'll be with him tomorrow. He'll be speaking tomorrow. He's all over it, him and the FVD, that Forum for Democracy, Forum for Democracy in Dutch, is...
Dutch is better than mine, and I've got the name.
Van der Steel. Yeah, I love it. They are all over it. Now, insofar as the farmers, it's a mixed bag. Some of the farmers are totally like, they see the trickery and they don't want anything to do with it. Others... they do fall for the information campaign, and you'll hear them say, well, you know, we vaccinate our sheep and our pigs and our cows, all these sorts of things. Why isn't it good for us? So it's a mixed bag with the farmers on whether or not they're against it or for it or kind of neutral, just sort of a bell curve, I would say. And I'm not sure how that bell curve actually has it shifted to the right or left, pro or anti-vax. I don't know, because that would require, you know, some statistical study that I'm incapable of doing, but I do. Mostly the farmers I'm with seem to be against taking it, and they're pretty clear about that, actually, because they become as suspicious about their government as we are now. You know, when you're doing a good information war campaign, you bring in anthropologists, right? And the anthropologists study the cultures that you're targeting, right? Like, for instance, if you want Koreans to fight Japanese, there's certain ways that you can do that. I've written 3 books about it. Unfortunately, they're only in Japanese because I've been trying to wake up the Japanese and the Koreans to this. But you'll bring in anthropologists and you'll find weaknesses. For instance, with Japanese, will apologize like people from the South will, like English people will actually. We will apologize for something when we didn't actually do it or we're not guilty. Like I'll say, oh, I'm sorry I spilled the coffee on you. Meanwhile, it was you that bumped into me actually, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll say, I'm sorry. It's just reflexive. It comes right out of my mouth. Now, with some cultures, like Koreans, if you apologize, that's an admission of guilt. So I can just be sitting here still with the coffee and you bump into me and I apologize reflexively because that's what Japanese will do. That's what English will do. That's what I will do in my Southern culture. That is an admission of guilt. Actually, Disney World has used this as weaponized before. I read about it years ago in the Wall Street Journal, like 25 years ago, probably. Whereas, you know, when somebody makes a mistake at Disney and something happens to their child, the people immediately are like, wow, I should have been watching him and that sort of thing. And so the Disney World lawyer shows up as fast as the medics do, right? And they're taking statements. Oh yes, you should have been watching your child. Meanwhile, you know, you should have not had an alligator at the park, maybe, you know what I mean? Next to the water, yeah. You know, because these are Yankees. They don't know anything about alligators in the lakes, that sort of thing, right? So, I mean, but one of the things that's used against the Dutch is their polder. Trait. And the polder is, I don't speak Dutch well, but polder, the Dutch watching this will know, it means their trait of negotiation, right? Or finding common ground, like Japanese will do, like I will do from the South, like English will do, like Scottish will not do, right? Like Koreans will not do, like mainland Han Chinese will not do. They're not into that. So this idea of finding common ground is used against the Dutch. For instance, the BBB party, the Build Back Better, BB, you know, the Boeren Bevolkering Bewegung, they are immediately coming up and admitting that stickstoff, the nitrogen poisoning, is actually real, which it's not. It's complete BS. It's BS from top to bottom. It's whole BS. But they'll come. Go ahead.
No, it's just the whole thing is BS. The World World Health Organization is BS. That is nothing but, you know, highway robbery. The World Economic Forum is a bunch of idiots who are just pontificating, spewing carbon all over the place where they jet around everywhere but tell us we've got to, you know, get rid of carbon dioxide and we have to drive electric cars. Everything is a big upside down lie, Michael, and you're right in the middle of it in the Tri-Cities, the capital Tri-City of Belgium, Germany, and Holland. And you're talking to the people on the ground. Michael, we're out of time. I'm sorry to cut you off because you know how much I adore you and I love you and I think you're phenomenal. And I'm going to come out there and meet you. But in the meantime, I just got to tell you something. I'm flying to Utah on Sunday. Heather, if you could put this up, Gateway Pundit finally picked this story up, the one I've been covering this week on this young man, Chase Allen, who was gunned down by the local Farmington police in his hometown over a traffic citation. I played this video yesterday on the show, and it's tragic because within 3.5 minutes of the officer addressing this young man, bullets are flying. And five officers shot him to death in his vehicle. Terrible story. So, Michael, I will make this detour to Utah before I get over to Europe to come and hook up with you. God willing, you're still there. So
I may actually be, you know, meeting our mutual friends, Chuck Colton and Masako Ganaha over in Japan. So you may have to meet us.
I'll meet you over there. Anyway, I've got to wrap this up. I know there's always, wherever you are, there's always stuff going on. This was Michael Yan here for an incredible extended segment here on the Zelenko Report. I hope everybody has a great weekend. God bless you all. I will see you from Utah on Monday. Have a great, great weekend.